of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father,
I, poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and fairly deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, in your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord and he answered me.
And delivered me from all my fears.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears.
And delivers them out of all their troubles.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Angel's Time is from the book of Ruth, the first chapter. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. And these took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. She said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death departs me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Praise the Lord. I will give praise, thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright and the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the second chapter. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound in chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
According to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Now, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God.
I'm very honored to be invited to preach today. You have to give me 1 minute. I have to make sure my sermon is in the right order. My wife and I are moving, and we found the printer, not the power cord for the printer. So thank you, Sue, for helping me have a printed copy of the sermon today. The sermon title is Presence or Presence? And the text is the gospel reading that you have just heard from Luke chapter 17. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it has officially begun. The signs of the season are upon us. While the store's candy aisle of Halloween treats may be getting picked over, a new aisle is being prepared. As Hobby Lobby and Michaels and craft stores around the country still sell you a blanket shaped like a leaf, or salt and pepper shakers in the shape of little pumpkins, more aisles are being prepared, filled with garland, filled with shiny baubles for the trees. Lowe's and Home Depot still have 9-foot-tall skeletons and blow-up turkeys that you can put into your front yard. However, on the other side of the store, a artificial fir forest has been planted where the lawnmowers once sat. Yes, the season is almost upon us, the season of Christmas. And with the Christmas season comes the things that children wait the whole year for. With the season comes those things that parents are searching for and preparing to buy. With the season comes that question of what is the limit on the card? Yes, with the Christmas season comes all the presents. Toys, video games, clothes, tools, appliances, presents. Presents that will all be one day wrapped and neatly arranged under the tree to give the most awe-inspiring moment on that Christmas day. I suspect that it's something that you have already began to think about yourself. What presents do you want? Or maybe what presents do you think you can actually get? What presents will make that family member really happy? Or at least what can you actually afford to give to them? What presents do you need? And what presents do you just simply want? Presents and gifts, favors and concessions, help and blessings, whatever you call them, you are accustomed for asking for presents. Presents that will make your life better, easier, more comfortable. Presents that will give you just a taste of the good life. However, as any parent knows, as the months will go by, the joy and the excitement about those presents will fade away. Favors and concessions you get at work and in life are forgotten as you find new things to ask for. The help and blessings that we receive are just simply never quite enough. No matter how many, how large, or how extraordinary the presents may be, you are always going to want a little bit more. Presents are good. They can't give a good life. And you have already heard a biblical example of that fact in the reading from Luke today. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, crossing between Samaria and Galilee. And along the way, as he and the disciples are walking along, they come upon a village and are met by 10 lepers, 10 men with a serious condition that excludes them from their community. Jesus is confronted by these men who are in need of his help, in need of a blessing. And as it might sound a little funny, they need him to give them a present. They need their lives to be changed. And so they cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They called out for a blessing. They called out for a favor. They called out for Jesus to give them a present. They needed something that only could be pure mercy, pure grace, a pure present from Jesus. And so they call out, offering nothing in return, but begging Jesus for that gift. They wished that they would have their leprosy be cleansed by him. and Jesus grants their request. He directs them to go to the village and find the priests and present themselves as clean. And then as they are going along back to the village, they are cleansed. They find themselves miraculously healed. They find their greatest hopes and dreams have become a reality. Their disease is wiped away. Now that Jesus had cleansed them, they had the good life. But only one of the lepers realized that there was something better than the presence that Jesus had just given them. Only one man realized the presence couldn't give the good life. Only this one leper realized that there was something more to life than presence. Presence are good, but they cannot give the good life. Something about the English language allows me to make this move that I'm about to make. We've already talked a lot about presence with a T. Presence at Christmas, presence in our daily lives. And when we talked about the presence that the lepers requested, that presence of healing and cleansing, presence that they hoped would allow them to have the good life, presence that the lepers received and were ecstatic about, undoubtedly. However, while presents are good, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, while that's good, presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, is what really matters. Only one of the lepers realized that while he had received a great gift, what really mattered was the giver. Only one of the lepers got a taste of the good life through the presence that Jesus gave him and decided he needed more. Only one of the lepers realized that being in Jesus' presence was the good life. When this leper saw that he had been healed, he immediately turned back on his heel and headed back. When this leper was walking back to Jesus, he loudly proclaims all that God has done for him, the mercy that had been shown to him. Only one leper realized that there was something even better than what he had just received. And when that leper returns to Jesus, he falls flat on his face and praises the one whom he had received this great present from. And there, in Jesus' presence, the leper experienced the good life. Jesus applauds the man for returning. In fact, he seems shocked the others have not done likewise. The other nine had received their gifts. They had received their presence, but seemed to care nothing for returning to Jesus' presence. They had gotten what they wanted, and that was that. They fell out of the story and are never mentioned again. But to be in Jesus' presence was to be part of his story, his life, his divinity. And so Jesus and the man are now together. The man is right where he needs to be, standing in Jesus' presence. He had gotten a taste and now wanted more. Standing there, the man had the good life. He was right where he was supposed to be. He was right in the groove of everything. There he was, in the right spot for himself, right with God, right with Jesus. All was good. Being in Jesus' presence was the good life. Dear Christian friends, today you are right where you are supposed to be. Today you are here with the other children of God, with those who have received the gifts of life and salvation. Today, you are once again given the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Today, you have received Christ's presence, S-E-N-T-S. And now are once again right where you are supposed to be, here in Christ's presence, S-E-N-C-E. That is the point for you today. The point of God is not what he can do for you. He is not a vending machine. But yes, you are encouraged, even commanded, to call out to God the Father at all times. You are commanded and directed to petition the one who gives you all good gifts. As Luther puts so succinctly in the Small Catechism, that God has made you. He's given you your eyes, ears, and all your members, your reason, and all your senses, and still takes care of them. He richly and daily provides you with all that you need to support your body and life. He continues to guard and protect you.
All of that he does for you only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. All of those gifts that he gives to you, he does because he loves you. All of this is for you so that then you would desire more than just the gift, more than just the presence, that you would desire to be in the presence of God. Likewise, you have Jesus. Jesus, who was willing to suffer, be crucified, die, and be buried for you, did all of that so that you may have his gifts of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and so that then you could come and be in his presence, be with Christ, so that you could be a child of God. And finally, the Holy Spirit comes to you here in your baptism, here in the Word, here with the other saints, so that you may enjoy the presence of God. The Holy Spirit has called you by the Word, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you here where you are supposed to be. And he has done this so that one day, if you die and your earthly presence comes to an end, even if that day comes to pass, the Spirit has done all of this so that one day you may share in an eternal presence. A presence with God, a presence with those who have gone before, a presence with each and every one of us that will be good, good and eternal. Today, dear Christian friends, God gives you many wonderful presents with a T. Presents that allow you to be in his presence with a C today. The Father gives you health and safety so that you can recognize the giver and rejoice to have such a Father. The Son gives you his life so that you can live with him in his presence now and forever. And the Spirit constantly strengthens, draws, and secures your faith so that you may live in the presence of God now and forever. And so, like the leper who returned, return to God's presence. Return to the good life with God. Return to the place where you are supposed to be. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the grace of God, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Gracious Lord, give us thankful hearts that we may not forget your kindness nor presume on your mercy. Bestow on us a generous spirit, that we may be preserved from selfishness and jealousy, and with new and contrite hearts, love you above all and love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless the pastors who speak to us in your name and administer your sacraments to us, those preparing for this ministry, those who are considering church work, and for the seminaries, colleges, universities, and schools where future servants of the church are being formed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, your servant Ruth faithfully cared for Naomi in her later years. Bless all adult children with wisdom and compassion as they care for their aging parents, and give their parents a humble spirit to accept that care. In particular, we pray for Karen and her mother, Claudette, Thane and his mother, Luann and Karen and their mother, Louise, Sue and her mother, Jackie, Tamis and her mother, Georgia, Corrine and her mother, Edith and Cheryl and her mother. Lord, in your mercy. God of all mercy, you accompanied Ruth and placed her in a blessed union with Boaz. Remember your people who are single and desire marriage. Be their companion and provide them a godly spouse and family according to your will. And grant those who remain single deep friendships and fulfilling vocations. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, be with all expectant mothers, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma, and the children that they carry. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you provide all that we need for this body and life, including health and order. Watch over all who exercise authority in our nation, giving them integrity, justice, and compassion. Provide for those who are unemployed, especially for Patricia, that they might have their daily bread through good labor and be set free from anxiety. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our help, you hear the cries of the righteous and deliver them from their troubles and fears. Remember all who cry to you for mercy, especially Judy for a diagnosis, Melinda, Jim, Karen, Carol, Mike, and Debbie. Help them according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, bestow on us the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith, that we may worthily receive the blessed food of Christ's flesh and blood in this sacrament. Grant true unity of faith, that all may be one in doctrine and one in life, and that this unity would be manifest as the table of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels, and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 116, starting at the
8th verse.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up a cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe even when I spoke, I am greatly affected. I say to my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
this true body and this true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Glorious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith through our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Countenance upon you and give you peace.